Now we're good. Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome
back to Slashcast
for episode 22.
I'm Jim.
I'm still Chevy.
And we're going to discuss Hatchet 3 and Victor Crowley.
Yep.
This might get a little long-winded. We're going to talk a lot about these movies, probably, but...
Hatchet 3, okay. Let's get into Hatchet 3.
Hatchet 3.
We can't kill Victor Crowley unless we give him back the ashes of his father. Sid Haig had him. Stretch from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 basically told Danielle Harris, broke her out of jail, got the ashes, threw them at him. That did absolutely fuck all, so Danielle Harris blew his head off and turned it into a big steaming pile of goo. Fade to black. That's 3.
Yes.
Can you tell us about 4, sir?
4. The same character who played the boat driver in part 1 came back as a twin brother, then came back as an ambulance driver. Now he is a quote-unquote celebrity going on the talk show circuit. They get in a plane crash, a bunch of people, but they all... Well, most of them live, I guess. The stars that were in the script live. All of a sudden, there's a team of kids, 3 kids, college kids, about to film a movie about Victor Crowley. They go down to the swamp. They find the plane. Victor Crowley comes back, starts slicing the shit out of all of them. We get Sleepaway Camp actress. We get a lot of other... I can't remember the other ones in this one. A couple of different
Tyler Mayne was at the very beginning.
Tyler Mayne, Halloween came back.
Yeah. How does Victor die? He gets fucking speared by little Junior Goldberg through a airplane turbine.
Well, that little Doofy from a scary movie.
Yeah.
He for some reason fell in love with this idiot girl over a matter of a couple hours and
something
said,
"I'm grabbing my foot."
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
All right then.
He said, "I'm going to go and kill myself and Victor Crowley into the turbine of this airplane that they crashed." And then...
Cut to black. We're done. Victor Crowley. I don't care. Done. Yeah, mid-credit scene.
We got credit scene of Danielle Harris, who we thought was dead in the end of the third one, but we did hear her breathing in the third one. And then we see that she's still alive, so that leaves open for...
I'm going to go get him. It's all hot. Done.
Yeah. I couldn't kill him 3 different times, but I'm going to come back, go back and try it. Anyway.
And that's this episode of Slashcast for Victor Crowley and Hatchet 3, episode 22. And, you know, what are we going to do next time?
I think we should do, well, since it is...
It is
October.
It is October 1st.
Probably we could into something like that.
I think since it is October 1st... That would be...
Maybe?
Damn good.
All right, let's just go ahead.
I kind of like that. We get that a little bit... Yeah, okay, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and switch
something
that
like that. Maybe okay. That stuff...
Oh, yeah, Victor. Right bye, Victor.
Maybe that stuff over here.
Where's that?
Knock it off.
Bye, Victor.
Get it the fuck out of here.
Okay, he's gone. He's gone. No more hatchet.
They can't see me talking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, they can. They don't see this.
Oh, they can't?
No.
Oh, shit. Well, hey, you know what? Piss on it, then.
Keep talking. You're good.
I'm a neat guy. Right. So, we're going to get this hatchet.
Get these hatchets
out of there.
Get
the, I can fuck off for all I care. We forgot our Michael Myers mask, so we're going to go with my Freddy glove.
Yes.
Razorgloves.com. Once again, I'll pimp you out no matter what.
I'm switching over, and then we're going to have some...
That's about how that works. I mean, we got our new little mascot back here, Jaime Von Bone Racker. How you doing, Jaime?
Oh, well. All right. So, this guy's... Can you give a premise of Halloween 1 for the folks while I get this?
Premise of Halloween 1 for the folks.
Yes.
The original one, 1978,
yes.
Was going to be originally titled, I think, The Babysitter Killers?
Babysitter Murders, I believe.
Murders, something along that line. Let's see, a young boy basically kills his older sister. He is institutionalized. He breaks out. Was it the day before Halloween? And then back in Halloween on Halloween night?
Yeah, he broke out on Halloween the 30th night,
yeah.
And then came back to Haddonfield on Halloween day.
And he was going to exact his revenge, possibly try to... kill his sister and wackiness against the whole town of Haddonfield. And, you know, it's we also have his doctor, Dr. Loomis, who comes back and scares the hell out of the police officers and everything in Haddonfield, saying that basically he is evil personified. He has no life in his eyes. He's just
purely and simply evil.
great, great premise for a movie. I thought it was, even for 1978. ultimate classic. One of the few movies that, you know, in the October season, all the TV stations and stuff, well, we're going to play movies from Halloween, and they run Elm Streets, they run the Friday the 13th. Those movies, to me, aren't Halloween movies because they don't take place on the 31st of October.
Exactly.
This one does. Halloween does.
Yes. I mean,
and I know you're going to laugh at this, but the only other movie, two movies, I should say, you've got Hocus Pocus. I'm sorry. It takes place on Halloween. It takes place in Salem. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you've got Nightmare Before Christmas. I guess it's the day after Halloween, but still it's all about Halloween Town. So. Oh, and Halloween Town, too. The other great Disney movie with the beautiful and lovely Judith Hogue. The only April O'Neil, as far as this Ninja Turtle fan will ever be concerned. No offense to Paige Turco, but sorry. Hey, welcome to episode 23 of Slashcast, ladies and germs. I am your host, Jim. No, I'm sorry, that's you.
Oh, that's me, yes. Anyway, I'm Jim.
And I'm still Chevy.
So, episode 23, welcome.
Hey, we made it through episode 22. I don't know how we did that. Oh, that was seems so long
rough,
ago.
Rough.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so.
That's our
synopsis. Bye-bye, Hatchet. Bye-bye, everybody. Before then, hello October, hello Halloween, hello Michael Myers.
Hello Kitty.
And yes.
Hello.
And everything that comes with the Halloween franchise. We'll delve into as much as we can. And I'm sure when the sequels come, we'll probably have different opinions, but probably one and two are probably going to be pretty
are we talking about the Zob Rombie ones?
No, I'm talking about like four, five, six, seven, yeah.
Well, we already had somewhat of a discussion about three. It is its own little movie.
Yeah.
While the premise was okay, and it was a decent movie for it being a standalone, as far as I'm concerned, a standalone movie.
I did not hate Halloween 3 as long as it didn't have the name Halloween on it. that's all I cared about. Just take the name Halloween off of it, make it Season of the Witch, and then it's its own horror movie, I think. I think it could be its own.
I can't disagree with that. I mean,
it's a good movie, just don't connect it to the Halloween franchise.
We'll delve into the whole reason why they called it Halloween 3, because... excuse me. Whoops.
Yes, welcome. Well, so, like you said, with Halloween 1, we got the introduction of Michael Myers.
Yep.
Very little backstory.
Which
is what John Carpenter wanted. He wanted you to create the fear, basically.
You get backstory, but it's not spoon fed to you. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah,
it's not. Hey, fucking fuck you. Look, he lived in a... Anyway.
Yeah, so we get... He does live in the suburbs. You see, like, a high school girl or boyfriend, all this, and then you just see the somebody's stalking her, and...
The point of view camera angle, you see everything, and you know what? Like I said, 1978, this was pre... You know, the killer in Friday the 13th, which came out in 1980, that whole point of view, it is done well. Even whenever the mask goes on, you can see just through the two little eyes, you know, and it was done very well.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I mean, you see him hiding outside and up the steps and watching his boyfriend go out. It was done cool for him.
Yeah. Mr. Cundy was the camera operator for that. He had the first steady, you know, the body cam, and he walked with the camera and everything.
Had to put the silhouette or whatever.
The arm reaching in to get the knife at the beginning was actually Deborah Hill, who was co-writer with John Carpenter. She passed away
unfortunately
a while ago, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole... If you just see how it was all done, it looks so simple, but it's so difficult to do that one scene, which I'm so happy they brought back in the 2018 version, the one steady shot.
Yeah.
For
while they are
steady shot, one scene, or one shot, all the way through. And
yeah, and while they are difficult to pull off, I mean, when you pull them off, they're phenomenal. I mean, even... How about... I mean, another great non-horror movie... Well, I guess you could call it... What was it? Goodfellas. The crane shot with the meat truck. and everything where they go in. And I mean, that was all one long shot.
Yeah,
even the long shot of them walking into whatever the restaurant to see the comedian or whatever, whenever Henry Hill goes down and through the kitchen and all that. Those shots are difficult as hell. And I mean, 78 as opposed to whenever, I can't tell you what year, 90 something.
One movie sticks my mind is Swingers. He did it.
That's Swingers. Another good one.
Going through when you said going through the kitchen. They, mm-hmm. I remember they go through the kitchen. Yep. Talk, see all the people work.
Yep.
And I love when you see extras look at the camera because they don't know what the fucking
day. Yeah, exactly.
They see the camera walking by.
Kind of go do one like this.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. But yeah, that first scene was.
What do we?
Amazing.
What do we think about our protagonist Laurie
Strode,
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, the great scream queen.
Honey, if you're listening, I know you're not listening to this, but I absolutely adore you. You have aged like a fine wine. I love you.
Creep alert.
Shut up. I'm just
there's going to be a word come right across.
I don't
creep
care.
Alert.
Creep, whatever.
No.
She's phenomenal. I've loved her.
I just watched her. Did you see the new movie Knives Out yet? On Netflix?
I have not yet.
Watch
it's,
it.
I've got it kind of like bookmarked.
Very entertaining.
But I mean...
But yeah, she came in as a... She actually read for the part of... I'm upset right now. Lori, her two friends.
PJ Souls.
Her character.
Yeah.
How's her character's name? Annie. Not Annie, the other one.
Annie was the one with the
Annie's
bad perm.
Yeah.
That didn't know how to...
Nancy Loomis is her real name.
Nancy Loomis is her real name.
What the fuck? What the hell if you didn't
know? I'm not gonna. I got it. I'm not telling you. You're the.
Oh no, it's pissing me up.
You're the Halloween expert.
Bob is her boyfriend.
Yeah.
See anything you like?
Sure.
Say her name, please, because I'm gonna go.
No, I'm not.
I'm gonna go dead silent.
I'm not gonna go dead silent. Well, then I'll just continue on.
It's pissing me off really bad right now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. We can go to commercial
I'm very upset right now that I can't think of
it. It's okay, don't worry about it. We'll just continue.
Yeah. But anyway.
It'll come to you. It'll be
she
like
read
Duress.
For her role. And because she's really like she foul mouth, she doesn't mind doing all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then John Carpenter saw her as a more innocent girl next door who he wanted to be the babysitter.
Yep.
And that's how she got cast. If she had it her way, she would be, you know, a completely different character. Wouldn't be probably where she is today, which is crazy to think.
Yeah.
If he literally gave her that role and that was it for her.
Absolutely right.
You know, and
She just went on to, you know, bigger and like I said
with him too, and she knows that. That's why she worked with him in like The Fog and did other stuff
sure.
with him.
The first time I ever saw Jamie Lee Curtis was, believe it or not, was there was A Fish Called Wanda, and I think before that was Trading Spaces, and.
She wasn't on
did
TLC.
Did I say Trading Spaces?
You did.
I meant to say Places. Sorry. But, you know, and then, of course, we became of age and everything, and once again, shout out to Video Force. Hey,
Linda.
It's Halloween.
Go ahead.
Attaboy!
Go ahead.
Doesn't know how to use a phone. She gets checked.
Yep.
Anyway.
My brain.
But, yeah, and then, you know, we saw, oh, wait a minute. That's got Jamie Lee Curtis in. Let's check that out. And we got to see her and... It was, you know, one of those things. I follow Jamie Lee kind of sort of wherever she's gone as far... Well, I mean, no. I mean, her movies. I'm not a stalker.
No, I get it. But, I mean...
But she was great in it. I mean,
yeah.
She played that innocent, you know, virginal kind of character to a T.
Oh, she did. I mean, innocent. You thought you didn't... You felt for her. You wanted her to survive. Like, it just... Perfect character, and she played it perfectly. Even though she actually smoked weed in the movie, she still seemed like a very innocent girl. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
back then.
That's
that was like a bad thing to do.
That was just peer pressure. I mean,
back then it was like, oh, you're a bad kid if you did. You know what I mean? So.
Do you think he smelled it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did he smell it? I don't know.
Oh, he could smell it. I'm sure he could smell it.
Dad didn't worry too much about it. He was worried about the guy that lifted the William Shatner mask.
Yeah, and some rope.
Oh yeah, you know, just kids playing pranks.
Yeah. Anyway. But
let's talk about the iconic mask.
The mask. The Mr. right there, William Shatner mask.
Mm-hmm.
Which was very by chance, by very, very... And that's actually the same mask, by the way.
Yeah. Just the hair slicked back a little bit more.
But because his face was so much different shape than the castle's, that's how it ended up looking longer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same exact mask they used in part one. That's crazy.
What did we do? We painted it fish belly white. Although, and I did not know this, there's actually, I think, did they miss or run out of paint around the neck
or some
area?
Down here, yeah.
And you can still see the flesh, and they cut the eyes out a little bit bigger.
Did this, and they trimmed the hairline back here. And you can actually see, like, on the mask where there's lines here. That's where the hair would have been.
Okay.
They just trimmed that back, like, on the side here. It would have been, like, down to, you know.
Almost looks like a casting seam line or something like that. But anyways. But
yeah, just the painted
just
white.
Just something that simple, just emotionless, just the in the black behind the eyes. I'm not sure if they did anything with that or if it was just natural shadows. But it was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And a blue jumpsuit, dark blue kind of jumpsuit, and a big old kitchen knife and...
That was it.
We're off to the races.
What's funny is the first scene where he's wearing the clown mask, they actually had clown masks that they were going to make him wear as an adult.
It was an Emmett Kelly mask.
Yeah.
And it just... I don't know what would have been more disturbing.
It's original. I mean, they made that there.
Somebody do a YouTube cut of this with a... Put an Emmett Kelly face on it and we'll...
Ready? Okay.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's there. And,
Are you going to actually do it this time or are you going to forget?
I'll remember. I might remember. But, the mask itself, I think, is perfect. Like I said, like John Carpenter said, plain white, it makes you project what your fear is onto it. It's just nothingness. So you shouldn't be afraid of it,
that's
but you
they
are.
They called him
the shape. Yeah, even in the credits, he wasn't Michael Myers as an adult. He was the shape.
Yep.
So he didn't even want him to be a character. He was just supposed to be an entity.
Yep.
And then the sequel came out to the whole family thing. We'll get into that. But this was just supposed to be a one thing, and...
And such a simple premise, too. I mean, for the movie, I mean, it was just straightforward. Here we go. I'm going to do a little stalking here. Did I see this person? It's your boyfriend. He wants to come date you. Was he behind the hedges? And then that night, everything just starts.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, none of them knew anything. You didn't know why he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just him going... You knew he had killed somebody as a kid, his sister, Judith. And then you knew he broke out of the insane asylum.
Yep.
And you knew that he came back to town. That was it.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason about it, just other than he's just...
Yeah. And then we get into the sequels, which just are crazy.
Yeah, well,
some of them go off the fucking rails, but...
Depends on what timeline.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Well, there are three timelines? Four timelines?
Four at least.
How you can
but
jump
with the new one now, it adds a little bit to it. But but like I said, we're just going to go with it. We're not even going to create a timeline. We're just going to go movie by movie.
But the kills in it, I don't want to say... I mean, once again,
zero blood, by the way.
They were so calm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, except for the one laughable one where he pins poor...
Yeah.
Bob up against the wall with that kitchen knife. That's about...
Yeah.
But even seeing that and whatever, but that whole thing whenever he just turns his head sideways and looks at... I'm just like almost an artist looking at his artwork.
That was all up to him, too. Nick Castle completely chose to do that, and they just kept filming it. And if you notice, it's a very long scene. They just keep him going back and forth. They just kept it going.
Yep.
Because they didn't realize what it was going to... Like, we'll use that, we won't use that. And they said it worked, so they just used it.
Yep.
When you see it tonight, it's fucking hilarious when you see how long that play would have to be.
Oh, yeah.
Stick a whole person on a wall.
Embedded in a stud, too. It would have to have. I mean,
yeah, it came right down. And then they redid that in the 2018 one.
Yeah.
But like I said, very little gore, almost no gore. Zero.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. We had him getting pinned to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You had... Linda. Choked by a phone cord. Okay. You hear it. You think that, Jamie thinks it. Lori.
Yep.
Jamie's her niece. Sorry. Once again, they all go.
Jamie Lloyd.
No, it's not! Anyway. She gets choked with a phone cord. She gets choked with a phone cord.
Yep. Obligatory duty.
Yeah. And Nancy Loomis' character, and for some reason I can never... that's the one I can't remember.
Annie.
That's it. Annie Brackett.
Mm-hmm.
What? Bag over the head?
No, just strangled in the car.
That's... Well,
driver's seat. And then he sliced your car.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. The bag over the head, that's... It was either Goodfellas or Casino. I'm sorry. Same kind of thing over the... But yeah,
she gets in the car. The inside of the car is all fogged up.
And she goes, what is...
Yeah. And then her... Yeah.
And, what other kills were there? The poor dog.
The dog got strangled, which was shot in reverse. It was really cool the way they did that.
Yeah, the legs
Yeah, they just had him lift him up and then just pulled him down.
Yeah.
He killed a lot of dogs in the franchise, too.
Yeah.
I like dogs.
Is there any more dogs?
I think that's it.
How about 12?
Oh, the truck, driver.
The truck driver.
Yeah. He gets the overalls.
Red Rabbit.
Red Rabbit. Oh, it's an inn in one movie and a bar in another one.
Yeah,
strip club
in
another one. But Rabbit
and Jamie,
Red.
And the thing is, Jamie takes a little bit of damage.
Yeah.
I don't know how she walked away from falling from the second floor.
I mean, I've fallen down the steps before. I've fallen off some little 20-foot hills on the ground. I mean, it's possible.
Well, I understand it, but...
You she know, got messed up, then. Yeah. I mean, she was limping away. She got sliced on her arm.
Sliced on the arm, but, you know, I mean, she dealt some damage, too. We had the knit needle in the neck and the...
Hanger in the eye.
Coat hanger in the eye and...
Stabbed him in the chest, stomach, whatever you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped it in the closet, and she reached up and stabbed him, which was cut out of one of the TV versions.
Yep. And then, of course, Loomis... Saves the day. Puts five shots in him?
Seven, if you add, but six in the script. He shot him once, where he saved when he was put the mask back on.
Yep.
He shot him, and then he stood up, and he shot him five more times. But if you watch the beginning of part two, there's an extra one where it makes it seven bullets.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a little mistake they did there.
So once again, drives him out the window, lays down, he's dead in the yard. We cut away.
We get the iconic... Was it the boogeyman?
Well, yeah,
it was. As a matter of fact, it was. So
yeah.
That's where he gets his
You
name.
Look, he disappears. Now, once again, that could have been it. It could have been a one and done. And it would have been done beautifully.
Which is what they wanted it to do.
Much like Elm Streets, much like Friday the 13th. I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacres. Oh, God.
I gotta have.
Anyways.
I have reverse of, it's not respect, but it's kind of like, okay, every single person who made a Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequel just said, screw the other one, I'm just making my movie. Because they don't make sense. The names are different. Like, the Sawyers, the Hewitts, like, it's completely different families. The only continuity is actually
Leatherface.
That's it.
About it.
And it's his family and...
Well, except for number two, the puppet was the hitchhiker. From the first one. That's about the only thing. Right. And Bill Moseley actually told me that.
Yeah. Well.
That was who it was supposed to be. Great big booger! I just love that line.
Anyway, yeah. I'm sure we'll get into the Texas Chainsaw franchise at some point. But, yeah. Oh, man, I don't know. So, yeah, we get... We're on Halloween. We did the kills. We did... Why are we on Texas Chainsaw?
I have no idea. Well, you know, we got on the whole thing about it could have been a one and
done. Off, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, if you think about that, like, what if it was? What if this was it? What if we had one movie? It wouldn't...
Zombie done?
Boom. I mean... Well, he would probably be ruining another franchise. But we could have easily... Would we be the fans that we are today if we didn't have the sequels to watch over the years? Would we?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I'm saying yes. My opinion...
But these movies...
Absolutely.
But would this movie stand up... Still, if it didn't have 40 years of movies in between it.
It's still the granddaddy.
We don't know that.
It's still 78, 80, 84. I mean, you know, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know Texas Chainsaw came out 74.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look at it. I'll watch that one, the first one, any day over 2, 3, anything that anybody else has put out. Matthew McConaughey.
Renee Zellweger. Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible.
Anyways, but
yeah.
I really do. I think I would be the fan that I am today. Still, if it was only a one and done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have done a trilogy. Had they chose to and not put, you know, the Halloween 3 that came out, the Season of the Witch, once again, not knocking it.
No.
But.
Well, that was their original plan. It was supposed to be an anthology type series of Halloween. Like, it was supposed to revolve around the Halloween holiday, not Michael Myers. So they actually didn't even want a part two Halloween. Yeah. They wanted to go right into a completely different story.
Everything taking place on the 31st.
Yeah, but one made too much money, and they said, we got to have a sequel. John Carpenter said, I won't direct it. But he, I think, helped with writing it, basically. Yeah. Because he didn't want a sequel.
And after that, they said, okay, we'll try the anthology thing, and it came with Season of the Witch. Didn't work.
It didn't work
for the franchise. It didn't do anything for the franchise, because everybody went in thinking they were going to have a Michael Myers movie or something continuing from Part 2. There was nothing, and then we get the return of Michael Myers, Part 4.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, could just be Part 3. I mean, just separate. You return Michael Myers after Part 2. In Part 3, he's burned. Or in Part 4, I mean. He's burned. He's in the hospital. It goes right in a row. 3 doesn't even need to be at all in there. But, I don't know. Like I said, I don't mind the sequels being made over the years. I think it gets more fans to go back and watch the original. I think sequels can have a good thing, even if they do suck. A good,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, well, I saw Halloween 7 first, but then I went back and watched Halloween 1 and 2. And it might make a fan, you know what I mean?
You know, and it doesn't make a difference if your first one was number 4.
No.
I mean, it kind of starts a whole new storyline a little bit, but then you go, okay, well,
who was this person? Who are they talking about?
This is number 4, okay, so we need to go back and see what's going on, and then find out about 1. Okay, and then we still watch 1 and 2, and then you go, well, what the hell happened with her in number 4? Where was... You know, Laurie Strode, and oh, okay, we find out this and that, but
yeah,
I mean, nothing.
I don't mind this. Like I said, I don't mind the sequels. I think no matter what, I would have still loved.
Nothing's gonna ever take
Halloween, no matter what.
Nothing will ever take. I don't care how many sequels. I don't care how many people reboot it, redo it, reimagine it. Nothing's gonna take away from the first one. And yes, to answer your question again, I would still be a fan to this day because, like I said, it was.
I didn't like it because of the sequel. I liked it because of the first one.
Is there such thing as a tastefully done horror movie? I mean, like we said, there wasn't a lot of gore. There wasn't a lot of, you know...
Mm-mm. I mean,
there wasn't, you know, a guy with a hatchet in the swamps of Louisiana, you know, taking heads off and just, like, buckets of blood.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad thing, but,
Completely different way of filmmaking. Just completely different.
Exactly.
That's all.
Left everything to your imagination.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, and that's what they wanted. Stalker, suspense... killing and a scary character, and they did that.
William Shatner match
perfectly, which is why we're still here 40 years later talking about it.
You got it.
So yeah, otherwise you want to get into a commercial and then we'll
Let's
come back with
commercial
part 2
break and we'll get into part 2 because I have to try to separate a couple little things from like I said, they all kind of start meshing together. That's the one where she's in the hospital.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and
commercial break.
We'll take a commercial after this. We'll be back with Halloween Part 2 from 1981.
Yes, sir.
Right after this. Time was going up.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are back for Halloween Part 2.
El Doso.
Direct sequel, same night.
3 years later.
3 years later, basically.
Well, released 3 years later.
So we get, like I said, it picks up from the end of Part 1, so Michael's gone, Dr. Loomis, who we didn't even fucking talk about in Part 1.
Well, yeah, really. Exactly.
But Donald Pleasance.
Another great actor.
Thank you for playing this role.
Oh, my God.
And continuing to play the role. That was great.
Yes.
Throughout the sequels.
Yes.
You kept that franchise going. And, he's basically looking for Michael now. He shot him. He sees right away that he's not human. He can get up from bullet shots, blah, blah, blah. So now he just basically has to try to find where the hell he went and do something. Because he knows he's going to kill everybody.
And Laurie is taken to
Haddonfield Memorial.
Memorial.
Throughout the movie, Michael is stalking town and trying to find her, and he hears on a boombox that that's where she's taken, so he ends up going to the hospital.
Wackiness ensues.
Yes, with security guard, nurses.
Which is my favorite.
Ambulance drivers, everybody starts getting it.
And we learn a secret.
And we learn a little detail that pretty much makes the whole franchise what it becomes.
Right. Should I give him the secret?
I'm going to tell them anyway.
I think so.
If you don't know...
Spoiler alert.
If you don't know...
Vader is Luke's...
No, no, that was... No.
No.
There is no cake?
No, uh-huh.
That's not it.
What the hell?
Lori and Michael are related. And Jim actually knows a little bit more of the detail. I guess he's done... Well, I mean, he's got the tattoo on his arm. Of how... we're going to call her Lori. I don't know if it was Lori Myers or, you know, they just decided to rename her when she was adopted by the Strode's family.
We never find that out.
Apparently, she was born after Michael was committed.
Mm-hmm. So he never met her before, but somehow he figured out that who
she
is.
Just going to say, begs the question, how does he know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it comes from the Rob Zombie one, he just smells an envelope and apparently knows. But in this one, no, we don't realize how he knows.
It comes from the Rob Zombie one, not to interrupt you, but we see the baby.
In what?
In Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
That was Boo.
But he never saw her as an adult, so he had no idea who she was.
Yeah, in the real one. So, yeah. So, once again, maybe a small plot hole of how does he know who he is.
There was a file. It's in the file.
Mm-hmm.
So, throughout his 20 years in the asylum, or how many years in the asylum, somebody could have told him.
Right.
A doctor, maybe.
Lori never went to visit him.
But Loomis never knew.
Loomis did not know.
But other people did. So somebody could have told him. Oh, you know, something about... Anytime, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you have a sister or baby sister or something like that. Who knows? But we never find that out. But we do find out that they're related. Lori was adopted after Michael did all this. So it does make sense. Okay, he was 6.
Yep.
She must have been a baby at the time of the murders, and the parents put her up for adoption right after the murders, because he was 6, she was a baby, he would be 23, and she's 17. Yes, okay, that's how it makes sense now. So he did know that she had a baby.
Did y'all catch that?
He does know that there is another sister.
There has to be.
So he was alive, she was alive when he just committed his other murder, or his murder, of the oldest sister.
So he would know, but she wouldn't know.
Yes. So,
you catch that there, Jaime? Not at all?
So basically, he's still trying to kill her. We don't know why, but it makes
sense. Still love that poster. Still love that one, too. That one.
Yeah. Yeah. And his little face. There's a little face in the hand there of the poster, if you notice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to kill her and all that kind of stuff. This was a direct sequel to the original, which was a great idea, I think.
Yep.
Even though it was 3 years later, we get Jamie Lee Curtis came back.
She did.
Got a little help from John Carpenter, I think, and as far as how the movie would have been made.
Right.
We get another different Michael Myers right there.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, too, we kind of glommed over, you know, John Carpenter also wrote the theme for the first.
Oh, yeah.
They tied that in together and everything. And, you know, John Carpenter, I really never realized how well-rounded he was and very well-versed. I mean, music and...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, now him and his son made the new movie, the 2018 music together. So yeah, that if you watch 2018, you hear that vroom, that electric guitar. That's like that's a violin string going across the electric guitar.
Very nice,
very nice. But yeah, it's just cool that they all connect together. And like I said, this started the franchise.
Yep.
Without this part two, we don't get anything else.
Yep.
So. It started them being related. It showed that he can't be killed.
You always wonder how...
And Jamie Lee.
How he can't be killed. You know, is it another Jason thing? Or well, I mean, like I said, 1981. I mean, we didn't figure all that out yet. But where does that all come in? And that comes in later on down the line about...
Part 2
was, you know, I mean, it was good. I mean, it was, like I said, it was a...
As far as horror sequels go...
It was a decent sequel. I mean...
If you watch...
They didn't go over the top with the kills and try to... Oh, well, what can we do now to...
They definitely did more
They
with
did
kills,
more, but it wasn't,
more.
You know...
It wasn't, like...
The drowning and the
blood spurting out of the head type shit. But, yeah, they burnt her skin off in a hot tub, which was a really cool death. Just slow. And it... Technically a slow burn.
Yes. It was a slow burn.
You know, over and over, diving her. But his hand was never burnt. I don't know. That's kind of weird. So
somewhere down the line, he has actually burns on the back of his hand. And I think
that's from the end of this one.
Okay.
Because we'll get to the climax of this one. But yeah, then
So Dr. Loomis figures it out from his assistant.
Yep.
That they're related. Now he knows he has to go back and save her because that's where he's going, where Michael's going to go.
Right.
Loomis ends up at the hospital trying to protect Lori. Michael's at the hospital also.
Yep.
And we get a nice little climax, nice little final fight scene, I guess you can call it.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember how it was done. Do you remember the details about that scene where he, and they're, when he opens the gas up? And
and the big old...
Yeah. So the
window explosion.
Michael stabs Loomis. Lori is still hurt, but she's crawling throughout the hospital and all that. And then she shoots him in the eyes, and he's still standing. Blood comes spurting down his eyes.
Right.
And basically, he's blind now. So they turn on the gas in the room.
Right.
And he just starts swiping in the air because he's just trying to find somebody because he can't see it right now. And then,
That actually brought a good question back. I mean, you know, he was stabbed in the left eye in the first one, if I'm not mistaken. It was this side. Because when he pulled the mask on, it was it was his left eye.
Yeah, closest to the camera, yeah.
Yeah, left eye was, and his other eye was kind of messed up. I don't know if it was makeup or whatever they did, but it just didn't look, it looked like a little sloth.
Hey, you guys.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So, I guess my question is, now that, you know, she does shoot him in the other eye, sequels. Is he blind? Do his eyes come back? I mean,
like I said, we never hear a word about him being shot.
That's true.
In the face.
That's true.
I don't know. We just see blood coming out of his eyes, which visually, I'm sure that's what they were thinking of. We're going to see two blood streaks coming
down
his face.
From the mask, yeah.
But logistically, he's got shot twice in the head. It doesn't really make it. You know, I mean, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But then you also, right before Loomis lights a lighter, which does blow everybody up.
To hell and back.
There's a close-up of Michael's face, and you can see his eyes. So, they're not gone.
Well,
I know, I mean, if you look closely, you can see his eyes. I don't know if that was intentional, showing that the bullets didn't hit his eyes, but they hit something else. I don't know.
Once again,
but you can see his eyes in the camera.
Love the movie.
Right there,
shot in the head.
Like if you
Victor Crowley, shot in the head. Lots. Close-up shotgun. He come back. This one, I can understand, maybe.
A little, whatever.
A little 38 or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't anything special.
No.
A little...
Mr. Saturday Night Special.
Sorry. All right. So we get a big explosion. We think Michael and Dr. Loomis both are done for. Lori made her way out to the hallway.
Yep.
And then we see a very much fatter version of Michael walking out of the fire.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's walking slowly out of the fire. Like
possibly a chubby stuntman.
Like the stuntmen do with the big... fire retardant suits and stuff, and he falls down, and it cuts to outside with police and news reporters, and Lori's getting loaded into an ambulance.
Yep.
That's the ending, and that's a theatrical ending.
Right.
She gets loaded into the ambulance. We go back to Michael's mask burning on the ground. It's just melting.
Yep.
So right there, the mask is gone. We think Michael's gone. We think Dr. Loomis is gone.
Yep. However,
Lori is alive in the in the ambulance.
However,
there is another ending where right next to Lori, a body sits up on the gurney, and when the towel comes down, it's the ambulance driver from the movie with the curly hair that's been talking to her the whole time. His character fell in the pool of blood from the head nurse in the room, and he just gets knocked out.
Right.
With that very big, giant pool of blood.
Well, sure.
Yeah. And after he gets knocked out on the ground, he walks out to a car where Lori's hiding, and he passes out on the steering wheel. And the horn's going off, and she pushes him back, and that's the last time we see him.
Right.
He just passed out. Well, this was kind of an open-ending thing, kind of like they did with Nightmare on Elm Street with Kincaid's character. They just completely forgot what to do in the script.
That must have been like, you know,
they
apropos
just forgot.
For the time. We're going to forget about somebody.
Yeah, so this character who was in the whole damn movie, basically, they just forgot to kill him off. Well, they filmed him being alive, and then they basically didn't do a death scene, so in the theatrical version, you'd never know what happens to him. And then there's a whole theory about that those two got together, and that's who the father of Jamie Lloyd is. And then we find out that the new story was that Lori became an alcoholic and she just had a one-night stand.
That's Halloween water.
That's the new Halloween's. But the old Halloween, that's a theory that it could have been. They got together after Halloween 2. blah, blah, blah.
Halloween water. Or H2O, I'm sorry.
H2O.
So H20.
Whatever ending you want to go with.
Right.
And this dude being alive could be connected to her and the father and of the babe of the kid that she has, or he just completely disappeared.
Yeah.
You know. Other than that, great sequel to the original to me.
Yeah, I thought it was too. But, you know, like we had touched on a little bit earlier, I mean, you can go wherever you want to now with these certain timelines because of how things have been done.
Yeah.
One of the timelines is what? 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, if I'm not mistaken. The other one's like Halloween 1 and then what just came out, Halloween 2018. And if you actually watch them, and I've actually sat down and done it, every single one of them makes sense. It really does.
And if you look right here, I'm going to put up a little picture. You can see the timeline options. Pause it if you like. So,
if you can.
Whatever way you want to go with it, there's a lot of different ways to go with it. But if you just, like I said, just watch them as movies.
Yeah,
you don't want to delve into the history and makes what makes sense and what doesn't, you can do that.
Absolutely.
They're just film. They're just horror movies. But
they're good ones.
They're good.
They're well written.
John Carpenter. Very simple done. Simply.
John Carpenter knew how to write. And let's face it, he knew how to make a good script.
Yeah,
make it suspenseful and did a very good job in it. And these probably are my two favorite of the franchise.
Yeah, probably. Nah, don't worry about that. Trying to turn the fan away from the mic.
Oh.
Yeah, if you hear a hiss in the middle of this throughout the thing, it's just, whatever. So.
Where the hell's that hiss coming from?
But yeah, John Carpenter, great director, great writer, musician.
People Under the Stairs. I mean, there's another great one that John Carpenter did. I mean,
wait a minute. Probably my favorite John Carpenter movie.
They Live.
They Live, yeah. Roddy Piper.
My boy.
But yeah, a lot of people don't even know the movies he's in. Assault on Precinct 13.
Yeah, another good one. One of the...
Escape from L.A., Escape from New York.
Yep.
L.A. was... Well, whatever.
Like, the good, you know...
Character.
Yeah, good character for Snake Plissken and everything, but, you know, They Live. 5.5-minute fight scene. It's great.
Recreated on South Park, too. Shot for shot,
yeah,
by the way.
It was.
Shot for shot with Timmy
you
and Jimmy.
You my mother... Beck, you dirty motherfucker.
Yeah. Check that movie out, too, by the way. They Live.
God.
If you like what the world's going today, I guess, with media.
No politics.
But just saying, if you like the movie, if you like today, if you don't like today, you'll probably like this movie. It's definitely a different era, different script. Cool script, though. I like the movie.
And Meg Foster's eyes in that movie. Oh, my God.
And she's the one that comes back in 31, right?
Why are we talking about that?
Because we just talked about that.
Let's remember that.
Yes.
Okay. But Meg Foster's eyes. Oh, my God. Oh, so captivating. Anyways.
Yeah. So, Halloween 2.
Halloween 1 and 2. Yes, sir.
Welcome to October. Thank you, everybody, for watching the episode and the previous 21 episodes.
And thank you so... Well, actually, 22 episodes, because we were sitting here getting everything... I, you know what? Okay, I like telling people about the backstory. We're sitting here and... He's like, well, you know, it is October 1st. Yeah, it is. What are we going to do? We should be doing Halloweens. I said, okay. He's like, how about we just say, fuck it, the hatchet. You got it. And boom.
Here
this is what you got. So, and to be honest with you, hey, not taking anything away from Adam Green and the hatchets and the Victor Crowley, but just wasn't my bag.
Well, plus, we were on a schedule, and missing the last couple of weeks got us off that schedule.
Well,
so today was supposed to be the first episode anyway of Halloween.
Yeah,
so
it was.
It worked out.
It really did.
Yeah.
You know,
we knew we weren't. If we would have filmed a whole episode 22 of talking about those two movies, we probably would have hated the episode. You know what I'm saying? So this is a good thing. You're watching.
The only thing we needed was Camilla to call in and say, "Hey, this movie sucked too." But you know,
so yeah. Yeah, so we figure Halloween started October 1st. We start Halloween 1 and 2. We're going to go 4, 5, 6, 7, and we'll see what happens.
I well, you know, I would like to talk about number three.
Oh, yeah,
but
we'll get
until,
into it.
I mean, we don't have... Well, you figure. Now we got one and two in the bag, so now we can do four and five.
Yeah, the Return of Michael, yeah.
You know, the what is it? The Return of Michael, the Curse of Michael, the Revenge of Michael.
The Revenge,
Michael's prostate
curse.
Exam.
No, I mean, H2O, Resurrection,
Michael.
Old folks
home.
I hate to tell you this.
Your prostate's the size of a pumpkin.
That makes sense.
It does.
But,
the size of a gourd.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing.
It doesn't matter. Whatever way we go with it, you're going to get Halloween throughout October.
Right.
It's just fitting. It is what it is. So we wanted to do that throughout, you know, since we started this in March, February.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah,
we said October, this. Halloween.
Yep.
So we'll have a lot more decoration next time. We want to thank our little co-host.
Hi! I'm Yvonne Bonewracker.
And thank everybody for listening and watching. Don't forget to go over to darkdiscussions.com to check out the audio version of the show. And Facebook, /cast, and YouTube, /cast, a horror fans podcast.
There you have it.
And you'll
look
see
for our logo.
This one here?
Well, it kind of looks like this, but it also has this on it.
Yes.
But that's the ones you're looking for if you're looking for our horror podcast.
Yeah, so. Anyway, until episode 24 with Halloween 3 and 4, I was Jim.
How about 4 and 5?
4 and 5, I meant. Halloween 4 and 5, I was Jim.
And I'm still Chevy.
Until next time.
Take care, y'all.
Bye-bye.